This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. The primaries are upon us. In just about a month, the Republicans and Democrats will get together to vote on their candidates for governor and U.S. Senate. A new poll has come out in the Republican races. Matt Towery is the CEO of Insider Advantage, which conducted the latest poll. He joins us once again. Matt, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Dennis.
Let's start with the U.S. Senate poll on the Republican side. Very crowded field. Obviously, it's going to a runoff, or at least one would think it would. David Perdue maintains a fairly slender lead, but still a lead, despite some missteps in some of the things he said about Karen Handel.
Yes, and where Perdue's strength seems to be coming, Dennis, is from the Atlanta area, particularly among female voters. He has about a 10% boost in that particular area. So I don't expect Perdue to somehow be edged out of a runoff. I think if anyone is showing enough momentum and staying power to make the runoff, it looks like David Perdue is that candidate.
The biggest movement in the poll comes from Karen Handel. Perdue is at 19% in your poll. Jack Kingston in second with 15%. Then Karen Handel with 13%, which is a little bit of a move up for her. Her campaign immediately jumped on this and said, okay, she's surging. But you said something interesting just a minute ago. David Perdue seems to be doing well with female voters in the metro area. That's where Karen Handel needs to do well.
Well, and she may well do well. I think where Handel is picking up, she is picking up votes in Metro Atlanta, or at least in the poll, from perhaps votes that otherwise would go to Jack Kingston. Kingston ran what I have considered to be a very poor set of ads related to an old beat-up car, and you know, he sort of comes across as, I think, too much as a good old boy. Kingston is, in fact, a very sophisticated member of Congress and would do well with suburban Atlanta. But suburban Atlanta doesn't usually like that sort of candidate. They have usually rejected these sort of candidates who come across as sort of being just, you know, aw shucks, Georgia type. And as a result, he ran an ad after that about Barack Obama, the faux conversation with the imitator pretending to be Barack Obama. That ad helped Jack Kingston, but now Kingston is back on the car again with his ads, and that has really helped Karen Handel. Now, I understand Perdue made some comments about Karen Handel also with regard to her not finishing college and the like, and that probably got her going, but I think really Karen Handel's growth is a result more of Kingston not catching on in Metro Atlanta, and then Handel doing two things, seizing that moment with Perdue, and secondly, running hundreds of thousands of robocalls that have been attacking these homes in Metro Atlanta with her name, and that's beginning to have an effect. She's getting more name ID, or people are remembering her again, let's put it that way.
And she is, of course, getting some endorsements and personal appearances from Sarah Palin, which has already happened, and
right.
Arizona Governor Jan Brewer, which will happen. But do those really translate into surges of support from people who might not otherwise have voted for a Karen Handel, for instance?
No, in the end, what Karen Handel needs is more money. And I think that her momentum that she's getting is probably going to cause people to sort of hedge their bet a little bit between Kingston, Perdue, and Handel. The really bad news here is for Paul Brown and for Phil Gingrey. Now, Gingrey is sitting on $2 million. We're just waiting to see what he does with that $2 million. His first ad was mediocre at best. I mean, he's wearing a doctor's white doctor's coat with a stethoscope draped across his back, and you know, the casual viewer would not know whether it's a Medicare ad or one of those ads that run at late night, or whether it's a campaign ad. It was a dreadful piece that's not gotten him any traction. If Gingrey were to really step it up, we could have a real horse race going here. The candidate who seems to be lagging behind is Brown. There are some rumors that some of the major groups, independent expenditure groups, are going to come in and support Handel in a big way. If she gets a big cash infusion, either independently or into her campaign, I think that that's a very dangerous situation for Kingston, because he's been in second place, moved there, but he's just not really rocketed up after spending over $1.5 million on TV.
But could it be said that any of these candidates are rocketing up, because the biggest number that jumped at me in this poll is 32%, almost a third of GOP voters are undecided, and this with the primary just a month away. That's an unusually high number. What does that say?
It is. And Dennis, you and I have been working together for many, many years. You know how I analyze races and how I poll. We poll for broadcast standards and for print standards, which are a little more stringent than, say, a pollster for a candidate who can ask questions like, well, are you leaning in the direction of one candidate or another? Or they can perhaps describe the candidates. And that always boosts the percentage in terms of what people get. In our case, even at the stringent level that we poll, and we usually have a higher undecided, this is a particularly high undecided. What it tells me is that the electorate in Georgia is not really excited about the Senate race, and I think that's partially because the governor's race is just on the Republican side is just a no-brainer. I mean, Deal is going to absolutely wallop his two opponents, and as a result, you know, other than local races people might be interested in, there just isn't a lot of action out there, and these folks are just not taking the Senate race as being compelling. So I'm concerned, at least I would be if I were a Republican, but I'm concerned as a person who looks at elections. I think this turnout's going to be more tepid than we originally thought. And if you think about it this way, if you get to 3 weeks from now and you still have, let's use the numbers we have right now. Pretend the election were held today. If the election were held today, that 32%, about 90%, 80% of that 32% would not be voting. It's simply they're people who just haven't made a choice and really aren't interested. So if you held the election today, they'd probably stay home. So you take the numbers the candidates have and you double them, basically. So Perdue goes from 19 to something to the equivalent of 38%. And then, of course, Kingston goes to 30, and then so on and so on. But it tells you that it could change. But generally speaking, as we get to within the last week or so, whatever undecided you have, those are people who simply are not going to vote. And so these guys really don't have the huge 32% that they can use to make up this race. I mean, we're talking about small margins here that will make the difference of whether someone makes the runoff or not. When you get one week out of the election, everyone tries to put the commercials up, and the clutter effect takes place. So in the last week, it's very hard to move many points because people just block out the ads, meaning the most important poll may well be the one that we take about a week out.
Yeah, and you have early voting, too. So
absolutely. This is the time period, beginning next week, going into about the next 2.5 weeks, that this race will probably be decided. If someone's not in the game by then, they're not going to be in the game.
But if the undecideds are so high, and if that indicates that at least right now a lot of Republican voters are not exactly excited about this field of candidates, isn't that bad news for the Republicans about the general election? That it's, if your own base can't get riled up, what about the average independent voter who might start looking toward a Democrat like Michelle Nunn?
Well, that's what is so shocking about Georgia. And Georgia, as you know, has a history of not going with the rest of the country. I mean, when the rest of the South was going heavily Republican in the 1990s, Georgia steadfastly remained Democrat. And it wasn't until the 2000s, we were the last major Republican state state in the Union not to have a Republican governor, certainly in the South. And everything just fell at one time. I'm seeing a scenario where if the Republicans don't really get their act together, there is the risk that they could be staring at the complete reverse of the 2002 race, in which both Governor Roy Barnes was knocked off and so was Max Cleland, and neither one was really expected to happen. And you had Saxby Chan was sort of pulling Perdue up, and Perdue sort of pulling Saxby Chambliss up. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm saying this is a risk that the Republicans have, and I don't think that their strategist or their party takes it as seriously as I think it should be taken.
Which brings up the question, obviously this poll was on the Republican races, which are more contested, but what about the head-to-heads against, say, a Michelle Nunn versus generic Republican survivor, or the latest polls on the Deal-Carter matchup, which show Jason Carter more than holding his own?
Well, I never do a name versus potential other names, because you have lots of folks on the other side in the primary, because that's really an unfair comparison. So I've not done a Nunn versus generic Republican survey. I'll wait until we know who the nominee is and probably do it then. But the Carter Deal race is very interesting because, quite frankly, Nathan Deal should be able to win this with 6 or 7 points to spare. But what happened, and I've said it over and over again, you've had three things hurt Nathan Deal. One is this continuing ethics situation, which I don't think anyone in Georgia really understands. It's just out there. Secondly, you have a snowstorm that was just a disaster for him, and it really was, for many people, their first real introduction to their governor in his office. And so that had a real strong effect with independent voters, who, by the way, make up probably the largest segment of voters in this state now. So he had that happen. And then the third issue that he's been dealing with is just sort of a general sort of lethargy, I say, among the Republicans in general. They don't pay a lot of attention to the legislation they pass. They put their governor in predicaments with certain bills like the gun bill. Carter sort of took him off the hook by voting in favor of that bill as well. But all of that said, Deal needs to get his campaign in gear. Now, they are running TV ads now, which is good. I think that's a smart move on his part. But the ad they're running about economic development is just worthless. Voters don't vote on economic development. They vote on the economic development of their own wallet, their own personal circumstances. They vote on issues like schools and transportation and other things that matter to them, but they don't really vote on how great a place we are to do business. That's great for the Chamber of Commerce. They've got to get to Nathan Deal and his wife. They are both very likable people. They come across well on TV. It's time for them. If they will bring Nathan Deal out in the next week and let him run for 3 or 4 weeks, it will be very hard for Jason Carter to come back and actually defeat Nathan Deal. But if they don't do that, if they continue to operate on issues rather than the pathos of personality, I think then this is going to be a very problematic race in the fall for the Republicans.
Who would have thought that the Democratic Party of a year and a half, 2 years ago, short of money, short of a bench, would suddenly have the resurgence that it has? And is that just due to a couple of well-known names, or are we seeing something a little more fundamental at work here?
Well, demographics are shifting in Georgia. I think the national press, when they look at Georgia, seem to think that we have just shifted and, we're just a purple state now. I don't know that that's the case. Independents in Georgia still tend to be more moderate to conservative. But what has shifted is, ineptitude can cause as much trouble for a political organization than anything. And I don't mean not knowing what you're doing, but just not paying attention, being asleep at the wheel. In 2002, Roy Barnes had every reason to be able to fight back his defeat. But the Barnes people really didn't recognize they were in trouble until the last month, and then it was too late. They went through the summer running the same ads over and over and over again, and that just never works. In the case of Max Cleland, Max just sort of, who's a good friend of mine, he just sort of dissolved in the last month, and he could never answer the sort of hard-charging attacks that he received from the Chambliss campaign. When you are complacent, or you think you haven't made, or you don't try to stay ahead of your opponent, then you have that opportunity of just finding yourself, with the last 2 weeks, the roof caving in. I'm not saying that's going to happen here. And let me just point out one thing. Barack Obama is the one reason why both Democrats have a real problem winning in this state. He is not popular. I mean, I'm talking big time. Nor is Obamacare, nor much of what the Democrats do on the federal level. But I will say that right now, the Carter campaign and certainly the Nunn campaign are displaying levels of ability to raise funds, create message, and get prepared that I did not expect out of the Democrats. And I think the Republicans, in many instances, they just don't quite get it. I just think they're still sitting back there and looking at this saying, it's just a Republican primary and then you're home free. It's not. This is going to be a very tough year in the state of Georgia for the Republicans. Don't know the Democrats can win, but they certainly will give it the old college try.
Matt Towery is the CEO of Insider Advantage. Matt, thanks so much for being with us once again. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Dennis. Always nice to be with you.